ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय This morning I want to speak about kirtan and especially kirtan performed publicly and especially some questions which have been raised about the presentation of that. Public chanting of the holy names of Krishna is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's principal method for giving love of Krishna to everyone, for uplifting the fallen. His very essence of the Hare Krishna movement should be encouraged in all respects. However, some devotees doing that have come under criticism from other devotees for the style or some of the things they do apart from chanting Hare Krishna. One devotee in Mayapur for several years has organized daily Sankirtan in the villages surrounding Mayapur. So that's certainly very laudable. But he has come under criticism for using modern instruments. So in a reply to such criticisms, he wrote, "Kirtan should be repackaged. People in general are not in goodness and not attracted so much to the traditional kirtan. When we play accordion, keyboards and jombes, they gather by the hundreds. The devotees also are far more enlivened when there is this variety. They are used to these variegated instruments, whereas kartals and mridanga only are not so attractive. Especially the youngsters. Why are they not so much coming to kirtans? We attract them in this way and they take part in the Sankirtan. Our music should be great. This is our most powerful weapon. We have to adjust to the changing times. Traditional Harinam can be too dry. We have to meet up with their moods. If we want to attract the youth, then we must get close to them through music and not be so conservative. Even here in India, people are more attracted when we use these instruments. They are fascinated." So some various statements here. Kirtan should be repackaged. So the idea of repackaging is there. Srila Prabhupada would sometimes speak of old wine in new bottles, which is an English saying. It's not really anything to do with drinking wine. It's not being encouraged. But the idea is that the product, old wine, is considered to be better, generally. So it's a good product, but it's just in a different packaging. So if the essence is there, you can alter some of the peripheral features. That's the idea. The idea is that we have to bring kirtan to others. So repackage it. People in general are not in goodness. Yes, that's why we know. That's why we're going out and chanting Hare Krishna. And if they were in goodness, then they'd be attracted to Kriteya Dhyayatam Vishnum. In Satya Yoga, when people are in the mode of goodness, they're inclined toward spiritual life, particularly meditation on Vishnu. The people are not in goodness. That's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought Harinam for the people of Kali Yoga. They're not so much attracted to the traditional kirtan. Well, of course, that's a subjective statement. When we play, we attract them. Our music should be great. This is our most powerful weapon. No, sir, you got it wrong. The music is not the weapon. The Harinam. It's the holy name, not the music. It's not your music that's making people purified. Then he goes on to say we have to adjust to the changing times. So how far do you take such statements? We want to imitate these in Berlin. I was there 1 year, and just at that time there was some annual festival they have there of thousands of people get highly intoxicated on drugs, and then they dance non-stop for like 3 days, 4 days, 5 days to this what they call techno rock, which basically it's boom, 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 and that's more or less it. And they just go on for days dancing to this. Just so we have to change with the times. Well, I thought the idea was that we were supposed to change the times, not that we are supposed to change according to the times. I thought we were supposed to change. The whole world's going to hell, and we're supposed to bring them to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement. So some adjustment may be in doing so. But then this statement, traditional Harinam can be too dry. Whew. So, I don't know what to say. What do you say that the taste is not in the name, but in the musical performance? The holy name is the essence. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanted that with mridanga and kartals. The mridanga and kartals are considered to be the eternal paraphernalia of the Sankirtan movement, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu likes, which his devotees like. Mridanga bada shunite man. Abhasha Shada Jache, Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings. He always desires the opportunity to hear the sound of the mridanga. Gaura Bihita Kirtana Shuni Anande Hridayanache. My heart dances when I hear the type of kirtan ordained by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, Shri Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he didn't even like harmonium. And Srila Prabhupada also said not to play it in the temple. He said in the temple only mridangas and kartals, incidentally. I don't think anyone follows that, but Srila Prabhupada did state that. And actually, the harmonium, you were telling me the other day about this vina, and how there are so many subtle sounds in that, but because the keyboard, we don't find keyboard in Vedic music, because it limits you. Whereas like with that vina, you can cover every sound within a certain spectrum. You can every single, according to the expertise of the instrumentalist, then every single sound within a certain spectrum can be reproduced, but the keyboard is extremely limited. You're just limited to whatever sounds are there. So there is music to please the Lord also, and musical performances for the pleasure of the Lord, but they are for the pleasure of Krishna. So we always have to remember that kirtan is for the pleasure of Krishna. Just in the last few days, I got a letter along similar lines about Harinam Sankirtan that was performed at the time of the New Year in the city called Kazan, which is one of the major cities of Russia. One of my disciples from there wrote that the devotees went out in fancy dress on Harinam. Fancy dress, how to explain? There's no such concept in India, but in the West there's, at least in, seems in Russia also, and in America on Halloween, which is one festival, people dress up like ghosts and vampires and witches, and sometimes they have fancy dress parties in which someone might dress up in the style of dress from the 15th century, for instance, in England. In India, if someone was to dress up in 15th century dress, it would be the same as now. They don't change their culture every few generations. Well, now they've changed to following the standard Orthodox Western dress. So, and someone might dress up as a zombie or a Frankenstein or an E.T. extraterrestrial. What they imagine some extraterrestrial person might be like. Actually, we have descriptions of extraterrestrials in the Shastras. There are Yakshas, Rakshasas, Gandharvas, Kinnaras, Chanaras, Kimpurushas, Kinnaras, Devas, Nagas. These are all extraterrestrials. Charanas, there are so many. But they've imagined that they have some lizard-like person or something like that. Well, maybe he's a Naga. Anyway, these devotees went out because on the New Year's Eve night in the Western world, as is being adopted here in India, like everything else they're trying to adopt from the West, people go out and they celebrate and usually get drunk. So the devotees went out on Harinam and they had fancy dress. There was one person dressed up as Jack Frost. Jack Frost, which is a symbol of winter. I didn't know they had it in Russia. I knew it from England. There's a person looking like a block of ice. His facial features are like that. There were pirates and a snow maiden. I'm not sure what the snow maiden is. Do you have that in your... I thought your culture might be, it's closer to Russian culture than, what is the snow maiden? It's a story from a fairy tale. So there's a snow maiden. You can imagine what it is. I could have looked it up on the internet, but I didn't bother. So the snow maiden is a male. A male devotee has dressed as the snow maiden, so... Devotees in drag on Harinam, they can have it. We can have in Mayapur the drag queen contest. Well, I guess we're not quite ready for that yet. So, devotee writing this letter that says that this devotee who's dressed as a snow maiden, maiden means Kumari, I guess, is the closest to maiden. Yeah, maiden means a young unmarried girl. Actually, Kumari doesn't mean it. In modern India, they say Kumari means a woman who hasn't married, but actually it means up to a certain age. And then after that, they're expected to be married anyway. Because once they're past 14 or 15, there's no question of them not being married. But now you have Vridha Kumari. Actually, there are such. There is that Vridha Kumari. There's a Vridha Kumari Nyai. So it can be. In this case, it's been used to me. But generally, Kumari means a certain age. So this fellow is ashamed to wear a dhoti. He never wears a dhoti. But he went on Harinam dressed as a snow maiden. So the question is, what is the most important thing on Harinam? Is the most important thing to chant the holy names? Or is the appearance of the devotees important, or a combination of both? Well, the appearance is also important. Devotees do want to make, they're going out in public to make an impression on people. So it's not just the sound of the holy name, it is visual also. I know in the Western world, devotees who regularly organize Harinam Sankirtan, they're often quite thoughtful and strict about this. I know when the Bhakta program was started by Dhanavir Maharaj in England in the 1970s, they would take the new Bhaktas, as they were called, out on Harinam Sankirtan every day, and they had special shirts for them, these bagalbandis, as they're called, these tie-up shirts, and they all looked the same. They were yellow with the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra written in Devanagari on them, so that they all looked the same. So the idea is that devotees on Harinam shouldn't look as devotees in the West often used to look. I don't know about now so much, but they used to look quite scraggly. You can work out what that means by the sound of it. Scarecrowish. Not very respect. Of course, how respectable a person looks in a dhoti anyway is questionable, but. But if the dhoti is at least clean and not torn, it looks better than if it is dirty and torn. Srila Prabhupada said that devotees could go on Harinam dressed up, but dressed up as Krishna, Nrisimhadeva. There's one film of devotees, must have been Nrisimha Chaturdashi. Was it Nrisimha? Maybe. It's a bit scary for people, maybe. Radha and Krishna, and then he said that devotees should wear silk turbans on Harinam. So it's important, but obviously the most important thing is the holy name, not the dress. The dress is consideration, but the point is to get out there and chant the holy names. In the winter season, not so strict about clothing. Yeah, if it's minus 30 outside, which is not imaginable here, minus anything is not imaginable here. In here in Salem, the temperature never goes beyond, doesn't go below 10 hardly, does it? Has it ever gone below 10 in all the years you've been here? No. So you can't imagine what minus 30 even means. So it would be a good idea to have some, first of all, if you're going out in such cold weather, to not spend too long, because it can be dangerous. It's very unnatural to be outside in such weather. You get hypothermia, which means to freeze to death. Fancy word. Have warm clothing is essential. I'm a bit awkward without a dhoti on Harinam. I'm always in a dhoti. Good for you. I know that Vaisheshika Prabhu, who's one of the most dynamic preachers in America at the present time, and actually has been for many years, all his life, he organizes Harinam Sankirtan with devotees in dhotis and saris. And he likes that a few devotees should be there in what we could call regular Western dress, just to give the idea that to people that, well, you can also be in a Hare Krishna movement and you don't have to change your dress, because the thought is that some people might be put off by the dress. They think, well, okay, that's nice, but I don't want to dress like that. I remember in London, we'd always have someone going in Western dress also to deal with the police when they came, inevitably. Someone who spoke in an upper-class British accent, which the police and everyone else tends to respect more. And to deal with hecklers and this and that. So the devotees don't have to... Hecklers mean someone who starts yelling at you and abusing you and maybe throwing beer bottles at you. So it doesn't look so good if the devotees get angry with them, but if someone else pretends to be just a bystander and he defends the devotees, so that looks better. So, dhoti, sari, all this, that's our uniform to show that we're not part of your society. We have different values. So you can dress in any dress and chant the holy name, but you know a person by his dress. And our dress shows that, with tilak and tulasi mala, that shows that we identify ourselves with a completely different outlook on life. As Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentioned in describing the activities that are favorable for execution of devotional service, he said, Gaura Bhakata Priya Besha Dadhana Tilak Tulasi Mala Shobhamana. He said that I will wear the kind of clothing that is dear to the devotees of Lord Chaitanya and will be beautified by tilak and tulasi mala. So this is our dress. And in America, going around, people, when I travel in America, I travel in the same dress as I wear everywhere else, except when I have to go through the borders of countries that are liable to disallow us from entering if we are dressed in clothes that distinctly identify us as members of the Krishna conscious movement. So people, they say, what's this dress? Oh, Hare Krishna, what's that? They don't know, or they may know and say, oh yeah, I remember a long time ago. Where have you been? What happened? Because our devotees regularly used to go out in the 1970s on Harinam Sankirtan in the streets of America, dressed as devotees, and they don't do that now. So it is good to go out and dress distinctively in a manner by which people can identify us as devotees of Krishna. There are many letters from Srila Prabhupada which touch such subjects. I'll just read one. This is a letter from Srila Prabhupada to his disciple Jagadish Pandit. Today is the disappearance day of the Jagadish Pandit, the associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after who the disciple of Srila Prabhupada was named by Srila Prabhupada. It's also interesting because in Kazan, where this letter is being written from, Kazan, the devotee who's writing is actually Mahaksha, who, you know, he was here for 6 months. How long was he here for? Several months. So he's written, and there's another disciple of mine in Kazan by the name of Jagadish Pandit, who is now banned from giving classes there because he speaks from my book on speaking strongly and points out things like this. So, interesting. This is a letter to Jagadish Pandit. My dear Jagadish Pandit, please accept my blessings. I'm in due receipt of your letter, dated nil, and have noted the contents. My opinion is that it is not necessary for us to utilize these different musical talents for spreading Krishna consciousness. So that's, there are two questions about Harinam. One is more about the dress, and one was more about the musical instruments. So this is Srila Prabhupada's very clear response to the one about music. I would rather see people follow strictly the path of Lord Chaitanya and his Sankirtan devotees. We are using mridanga, kartal, that is enough. We are not musicians, we are Krishna bhaktas. Therefore, we do not stress so much importance on these different musical talents. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is God himself. Had he thought it would have been better to spread Krishna consciousness by another way, he would have done so. But no, simply with mridanga and kartal, traveling and chanting Hare Krishna, asking everyone to chant Hare Krishna, preaching simply Srimad Bhagavatam philosophy, this is the process. There is no need for us to try and add anything to this simple method. It will only be a distraction. Therefore, I request you to follow the simple path of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and help me spread this wonderful mission all over the world. Keep yourself pure and fixed up in Krishna consciousness by following the basic principles that I have given, chanting 16 rounds daily, following the four regulated principles, rising early, attending Mangalati and classes, etc. This is of the utmost importance. Well, that's very clearly answering the call for jhumbis and accordions and everything else. Of course, if you want to, you can ignore this or reinterpret it or say it doesn't apply to us, but if one is straightforward and honest, then he will accept that the same question arose in Srila Prabhupada's presence, and he answered it very clearly. As far as dressing as pirates and snow maidens and all this, what is the point? What is the point? I wonder. Maybe because devotees see our, the public sees our devotees maybe as seeing, being something like a pantomime performance, and then we have to take that further, or the idea that we have to behave in a way that will please the public. In the Western world, people often see our devotees as being somewhat unusual, but a little nutty, but harmless. And happy. So they see us as being a little nutty or a little bit stupid or something. But we have to uphold the dignity of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. It's, people might see it as being something almost frivolous, but we have to, as Srila Prabhupada says here, we have to speak the philosophy and let people know. That's one of the points I make in that book on speaking strongly in Srila Prabhupada's service, that we're not just supposed, people shouldn't think that we're minstrels. There's no word for minstrel in Tamil, I'm sure. The nearest thing you could get to that is the Haridasis, who go around and sing. But the thing is, the minstrel is just someone who sings, and it can be all kinds of folk songs and all this kind of thing. People should know that we have got a very serious philosophical message. We're not out there to entertain the public. We are out there to enlighten them. They may take it as some kind of entertainment, because that's all they can think of, is sense gratification. But, and it is entertaining in that sense, in one sense, but it's not meant for the gratification of their senses. So this idea as dressing up as some folklore figures, It's nonsense. Simply nonsense. But these things are going on. The whole trend within our movement is that we have to, both inside India and outside India, that the main thing is that the public should accept us. Okay, but they should accept us on our terms, not on their terms. Otherwise we're compromised. So this plea comes from Mahaksha in Kazan. It's a very difficult situation because practically the movement has to a large extent been hijacked by all kinds of things, dressing Radha and Krishna in Santa Claus outfits and presenting our movement as the message that we have. We make a video for presentation to the public as if the purpose of the Krishna Conscious Movement is to feed children going to school so that they can have a better future. This bluff that people are brainwashed into, that you go through our school system, which is meant for turning you into a slave, and you will get a better future. Well, in one sense it's true. If you do study well, you have a better chance of being a higher grade slave. Instead of being the lower grade slave, if you study hard, then you could come out with some. Instead of just having $100,000 debt, you'll have a $500,000 debt. So you'll be a better slave. You'll debt slaves. So we're not supposed to be part of this stinking, demoniac, exploitive, bluffing, brainwashing society. We're supposed to be an alternative to that. If we present our devotees as imitating Jack Frost, then it's just cheap and it's as if there's no depth to our movement. It's just some pantomime. Our whole movement's just some pantomime. Regarding comics of Krishna, Srila Prabhupada said that we don't want to present Krishna in this way in which people will take it very lightly, as if Krishna's just some object of some joke or something like this. Of course, our great philosophers just up the road in Bangalore, they've made some multi-craw cartoons of Krishna, knowing well that Srila Prabhupada didn't want this, and they've put an elaborate justification, but basically they're just disobeying Srila Prabhupada, that's all. So, yeah, this hijack from within, and then we have the Ritviks with their hijack, and so many so many bogus ideas floating around. What to do? What can you do? Well, I would suggest just keeping a distance. It will cause disunity. That's what I'm being told, that I'm getting these letters from Russia that, well, we're doing these policies of feeding the poor, going in kami clothes and not saying Hare Krishna, and we're feeding the poor so that the public will like us, and some of your disciples are protesting that it'd be better if these devotees were out distributing books. But anyway, you should all just cooperate because unity is important. But unity can come when we're convinced. We've come to Krishna consciousness voluntarily to follow a process which is because we have faith that that will purify. And we have faith that if we follow what Srila Prabhupada has given us, that will purify us. And when we see that the process is, there are alterations being done that which are very clearly very different to what Srila Prabhupada introduced, then this voluntary process, we don't feel like, or we can't commit ourselves to that. Because we get a, we perceive, we have a different experience when we go on Harinam Sankirtan, when all the devotees are clearly dressed as devotees and chanting for the pleasure of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with the aim of uplifting everyone. So there's a difference if we go out with the devotees dressed in pantomime outfits as some kind of parade to please the public. Definitely we're going to have a different experience. And when devotees are diverted from direct preaching of Krishna consciousness to activities that are supposed to make the authorities, what are they called, municipal authorities, pleased with us, just like our devotees volunteer to sweep the streets. That's one of the things we're told. So our devotees are not meant for sweeping the streets, they're meant for distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. That's their voluntary action. This is what people need. It's good that there are clean streets, but it's far more important that people come into our movement are engaged in distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. So these things are a diversion from our real activity. So devotees like Mahaksha here, they're going to feel difficult, and they're not going to be able to go on doing that because it's not Krishna consciousness. Or it's not Krishna conscious as we have received it from Srila Prabhupada. It's diluted, it's compromised. So what to do? I suggest that you just associate with the devotees who you can associate with, and that might mean that you become somewhat distanced from the official organization that goes on in the name of ISKCON, because like I say, it's been hijacked. So, yeah, it's a sad fact that we have to face, that the organization and the temples that were established by Srila Prabhupada are now going on superficially with the same aim and object, but practically things have changed in very significant ways. In the name of accommodating the public. It's probably best if you just don't want to get into fights all the time or feel compromised. You go into the Sunday feast lecture and find someone sitting there in a suit and tie giving the lecture, or maybe just jeans and a t-shirt. Then you don't feel like going at all. And already thousands of devotees have expressed themselves by just disassociating themselves from all of this. So that's my advice. Just even if there are just two or three of you, you come together and chant Hare Krishna. But if you want to give your time, life, and money to an organization that goes out on Harinam dressed as pirates, I don't want to. Up to you. It's your life. So, Hare Krishna. Any question about this? Comment. Oh, there's another point I wanted to make. When I saw you, the first time I saw kirtan being done distinctly as a performance was in Croatia. One of the first times I went at the Sunday feast program. devotees are up on the stage and they're all singing very nicely. And at the end, everyone clapped, and the devotees had been singing, they smile like to acknowledge. It was just like a performance. I'd never seen that before. I mean, I've seen it among the Sahajiyas of Bangladesh, but it's a little different there. But it was just like that. They were singing. It was all very nice singers. It was, no objection to that. But then the response was clapping, and then the devotees who had been doing the kirtan, their response to that was just like performers, like as if, okay, that's what we expected or what we'd hoped for, some applause, now we got it. Okay, very nice. That was the first time I saw that. And that seems to be that's probably what you've always seen in the Sunday program in Croatia. It's a performance. Yeah. In the Sunday feast means, yeah, they'd rent a hall and this and that. So it's like a performance, the idea that we're there to please the public. So if we're out chanting in public, some cognition should be there of the public, certainly. But at the same time, we're not entertainers. We're not there to entertain them. It's not supposed to be a musical performance to entertain them. What were you going to say?
I heard one of the Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that we should not restrict when kirtan is going on with harmonium. Just because when kirtan means without harmonium, but otherwise for playing bhajan, that is okay.
Kirtan, bhajan, what's the difference? Srila Prabhupada played harmonium, yeah. In Gauriya Math? Traditionally not, although it's coming now. It's very much part of Bengali kirtan, all over North India. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur didn't have it either. Kept it simple, mridanga kartal. Sounds nice, no doubt, if properly played.
Is it good to stop Harinam for a while and say a few words about what you are doing?
Is it good to stop Harinam for a while? I thought, when you said that, I thought, stop Harinam? But you mean in the stop and speak about what we're doing? Yeah, that's nice, that's good. It's a standard thing to do. Oh, that's another whole question. Do we present our movement as part of Hinduism? Give him a link. I've spoken on that. You can listen. I've spoken on that in several lectures. Are we Hindu or not? Do we present ourselves as Hindu? Generally not, no. Should we? The answer is generally not. Do we? We do, yes. But we shouldn't. If you're a musician, glorify the Lord by your instruments. Yeah, well, as I said, we were talking about the Veena and all this. This music can be played. There can be it's a standard thing in temples, or used to be, to have musical performances for the pleasure of the Lord. At the same time, we have to see what kind of music the Lord Himself likes. We hear this, and then some rock band comes in and does a 2,000 watt concert in front of Gaur Nittai with you have to see what they like, what kind of music they like also. If you're a musician, use your talent for the Lord. All right, but you see what music he likes. It's not necessarily the music that you like. 2,000 watt, is that small? Small, yeah. Well, how about how much do they go up to? 20,000? Then after that you must be deaf. Wow, that's really that's damaging to the eardrum, must be. Years ago, I was in Bombay, and some Western rock group came and they did a concert near to our temple, and there's some stadium in Andheri or somewhere near there, in. What's that? There's some stadium. I can't remember. In between Dada and Andheri, what's that station beginning with B? A major station? In between Dada and Andheri. Bandra. There's some stadium there? Oh, it's in church. Anyway, but there's some stadium close to the temple? Anyway, some group came, which they were very famous. I'd never heard of them. They were called Boney M. Do you know? Have you ever heard of them? Boney M. Something like that. I'd never heard of them. They actually came to the temple. Why? For a photo session, because the temple looks nice. So I was sleeping that night outside in the veranda. And the concert was like several kilometers away, but you could hear it. So loud. So, you may be a musician. I don't know, Srila Prabhupada wrote that, but do such people come within his definition of a musician? What does Srila Prabhupada think of when he says musician? Well, he accepted George Harrison as a musician, and he did use his talents for glorifying Krishna. There are all kinds of strange questions that arise. In the next generation after George Harrison came some other gay guy. Boy George. So he chanted, "Bow down, Mr. Nitai Gaur Radhe Shyam Hare Krishna Hare Rama." Some bogus mantra, and devotees, they took him on concert with them to places like Zagreb, isn't it? Not Zagreb, the big... In Moscow they took him. That was the biggest festival they did, probably. So he was supposed to be a spokesman for the Hare Krishna, but he's openly gay, so... Well, I don't know. These are the dilemmas of the modern world. Anyone of any importance is either gay or suspected to be gay. We're waiting for the first world boxing heavyweight champion who's a gay. You never know. First all gay American football team. If I was in England, I could be arrested for making anti-gay jokes. They don't know what I'm talking about. Lucky for you, you don't know what I'm talking about. I don't think all of you can understand how degraded this Western so-called civilization is. There's another very good reason, just as a matter of formality, to stick to the traditional culture that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave us. Because once you start bringing in all these Western things, then one thing, another thing, another thing, and then all the ideas and concepts, it's so degraded. Better don't be part of it. Why do we join this movement anyway? Because we're so just so disgusted and frustrated with the whole way of life that we've been raised in. That was a major factor. You can't relate to this just horrible way of life. So, Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, who's still speaking in English. I guess I should be speaking in Tamil or Sanskrit. Next generation. Train them in Sanskrit. Best language for computers, you know that? You ever heard that? You never heard that? Oh, some computer analyst said that the best language is Sanskrit because it's so systematic. Highly systematic language. Everything, every word comes out of a root. And no word is simply arbitrary. It's not just that it's this anthropological idea that people started grunting, and then if they grunt like that, it means one thing, and if they grunt like that, it means something else, and in this way words got formed. But Sanskrit, every word comes from a root. Every word is derived from a root. So, and the grammar is systematic, the etymology is systematic. I don't think any language has that. The Slavic languages, the grammar is very systematic, but the etymology, unlikely. So really, it's Deva Bhasha. It's a language fit for the gods. And all these language, all these other languages, they are transformations of grunting. And Indian languages, they're a mixture. They're derived from Sanskrit, not Tamil. So we're told. Tamil came from Lord Shiva via Agastya. So they say. But there's a lot of Sanskrit in it also, yeah. Well, I guess Lord Shiva knows Sanskrit also. Hare Krishna.